Amen. We're turning to the book of Proverbs in the chapter number 14 for our reading at this point in the service and for the preaching of God's word. And over these few Sunday nights, we want to look at some gospel verses and texts in the book of Proverbs. And tonight we want to read from verse number 7 down to verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favour. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious and holy word. We rejoice, O Lord, that this is heavenly wisdom. And Lord, we don't want to be like the simple that have been referred to in this passage, where we believe every word and everything that we hear in life. We want to come before the word of God and say, Lord, speak. You are our creator. Lord, speak. Lord, you are the one who can save. Lord, speak. Lord, you're the one before whom we will stand on the day of judgment. Lord, speak. And our cry is that tonight there'll be a message for each soul. Oh, Lord, don't pass any by. But we plead with thee, O Lord, come and minister to our hearts tonight. Empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. Give me direction in the preaching of thy word, and may God be glorified in what is said and done in the conclusion of this meeting. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14 and the verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This particular text is found twice in the book of Proverbs. It's not just the once, but it's twice. Each one of us is on a journey. We are walking toward eternity. Now, the length of that journey varies from person to person. For some, it will be just a few short years. For others, it will be many decades. But day by day, hour by hour, and minute by minute, we are traveling toward eternity. Now, you can't take the time that you have already spent in life and relive it. It is spent and past. And tonight you're closer to eternity, and I am closer to eternity than we have ever been before. And therefore, the question must be asked, are you on the right way? Are you walking on the right way? Are you traveling the right way or the right road? Have you ever stopped in life's journey to consider where you're actually traveling to? Has there been a searching and a seeking to make sure you're on the right way? Well, I want us to look at this verse tonight with three simple thoughts, and I trust that the Lord will speak to you. First of all, the wrong way. The wrong way. The very fact that the verse says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, would cause us to say that this is talking about the wrong way. The wrong way to travel. There is a wrong way to travel, and that is to travel any other way through life other than the way that God has provided in Christ for our salvation. If you're hoping to get to heaven without Christ, you're traveling the wrong way. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how acceptable it is to the world. If you're not traveling to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not traveling to heaven. You're going to eternity. Listen to these verses. I'm going to quote a few verses here. 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 16:30, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said unto him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." These are just three of many, many Bible passages that teach us that there is only one way to be saved. That the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work and faith in that work is the way of salvation. I know we live in a pluralistic society and people say, well, that's just too narrow and that's too restrictive and that's not inclusive of everybody and all faiths. That is true. But it's biblical. And that's the bottom line. We have no right to say anything or to give hope to anyone outside of the only hope that is given in the Word of God, and that is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're born going the wrong way. We are born in sin. And whatever label you want to place upon yourself tonight, it doesn't really matter, because if you're born into this world, you're born as a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As sinners, we're walking the wrong way. We're walking on the broad road that leads to hell and a lost eternity. Now, some today are genuinely trying to find peace with God. Some are genuinely trying to travel to heaven, but they're going the wrong way. For some, it is religion. They're going a religious way, whether baptism, communion, membership, giving, whatever it is. For some, it's the way of good works, kindness and giving aid and helping others, being a good citizen. But I want to say on the authority of the Word of God, if you're trying to be religious enough or good enough to please God, then you're walking the wrong way. Some people walk the way of pretending that God doesn't exist. They're living a life trying to close out God, acting as if he is not real. They believe that they will find their happiness and purpose in life by doing exactly what they want to do. Is that you tonight? Are you sitting in God's house thinking, well, if I want the best out of life, I must go my way. I have to get my way and do what I want to do when I want to do it. You won't listen to the warnings of the Word of God. You ignore the invitations of the Scripture. And you shun the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mantra, like many people in this world, is this: I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way. But let me tell you, it's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. Any lifestyle where a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, lives without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is the wrong way to live. It's the wrong way to travel. And there's going to be a sorry end. Why is it the wrong way? Why is everyone else's way the wrong way other than the way of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's wrong because of its origin. Because every other way starts with man. It starts with what you think is right. Or what some other man thinks is right. Rather than what God declares is right. It's the wrong way because of its direction. Because if you're not following the Lord and walking in faith with Christ, then the way you're walking goes against God. It goes against the Scriptures. It's offensive to God. It is a sinful way because it's not God's way. And all you're doing every day in your life is adding sin upon sin upon sin for the day of judgment. Why is it the wrong way? Because of its origin. Because of its direction. Because of its end. It's the wrong way. Any way that takes you to hell is the wrong way. Any way that takes you to hell is a way you ought to avoid. You see, any other way other than the way of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot prosper. Oh, you might reach the heights of this world. You might have money in the bank that you can hardly count because of the vast quantity of it. You may be popular, famous, lauded by this world, and rise to the heights of success. But if you're traveling without Christ, the end of your way is going to be devastation. absolute devastation. And while people may stand around your coffin or your graveside and say, oh, well, they're at peace now, if you have been walking the wrong way, the reality is you're in hell. Now, the Bible reminds us we've all turned the wrong way. For well, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've turned to our own way. And friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not a born-again Christian, one who's repented of their sin and trusted in Christ, the reality is you're going your way. And that way is the wrong way. In the book of Hosea, we read these words. Ye have ploughed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way. And the sad reality is tonight, there are men and women maybe sitting in this congregation, and they're trusting in their way. They're trusting in their way to get to heaven. And the sad reality is, in this land, there are people who are teaching others to go the wrong way. They're teaching others to go the wrong way. In Jeremiah 2:33, we read these words, therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Sadly today, people have stood in pulpits in our province and around this world, and they've looked into a congregation just like this one, and they've encouraged them to go the wrong way. They've encouraged them to keep coming to church and being religious, and God will receive you. They've encouraged them to try their best. God will receive you. They've even encouraged them to continue in their sin, because God is love and he couldn't turn anybody away. And we have people today, and they're teaching the wrong way. The wrong way. Are you on it tonight? Is your life a life without Christ? You're in the wrong way. Is it a life without salvation? You're on the wrong way. Is it a life where you've never repented or turned from your sin or called on Christ to save you? Friend, you're on the wrong way. That's our first thought tonight, the wrong way. The second thought is this, the foolish perception. The foolish perception, because it says in verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Preacher, don't bother me preaching about this, because my way is right to me. It's right to me. It seems right to me. Let's consider that thought for a second. To whom will you answer for the way you have traveled in life? To whom will you give account at the end of your life? If you're only accountable to yourself, and you're the final judge in the matter, well, then you can travel whichever way you wish to, if you're only answerable to yourself. But the reality is, in Romans 14, verse 12, we read these words, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. Whatever age you are tonight, whatever your background, whatever denominational tag you have, whether loyal orders or whatever it is, friend, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You know, I've heard people saying, well, when I stand before God, I'm going to ask why he let that man do that, and why he let that woman do that, and why he allowed that wickedness in the world, and why he allowed this and that and the other. The Bible says you'll be called to give an account of yourself. You have to stand before God, and you'll be judged by his standards. You're not the judge, remember that. You're standing in the courtroom, you're in the dock, but you're not the judge. And he will judge you by his standards, by his word, the Bible. See, this book you had no time for, it will be opened, and by it you will be judged. You know the gospel you neglected to consider, By it you will be judged. Have you believed it or rejected it? The Saviour that you rejected as unnecessary for your life. I don't need Christ. I'm fine without him. You'll be judged by him. What have you done with Jesus? Hymn writer said, neutral you cannot be, for one day your soul will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? It's possible to think everything is okay. It's possible for you to think everything will work out in the end because of the way you're living, and yet you've never called on Christ for salvation. I think that's a fearful thing. I think it's a fearful thing that there's men and women, young people tonight, and they believe they're living the best way they can. They believe that the life they're living will profit them in the end. They believe that the life they're living will prosper them. They genuinely, sincerely believe it. And maybe there's someone tonight and you believe you can live without God and prosper. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open your heart to show you cannot. It's not possible. If you die without Christ, you'll be in eternity without him. Now God is presenting this truth before you tonight. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's the wrong way. Will you be wise enough to ask the Lord tonight, Lord, am I travelling the right way? Or am I travelling the wrong way? Friend, will you be wise enough to come before God tonight and ask him if the end of your way will prosper? Or it will be in a place of perishing. What a tragedy to think someone can live through their entire life and get to the end thinking it's all well, but find their life has been for nothing. You've walked in error all your life. And this brings us finally to the sad reality, because it says the end thereof are the ways of death. If you have, in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sin and trusted in him for salvation, if you've called upon him to save you, I want to make it very clear tonight that death is simply a promotion. It's a promotion. You're going to the palace of the king. You're going to your reward. You're going to a place where there's no sin, where everything you've dreamed of as a Christian and hoped for and longed for is made real, where you're able to love in a way you've never loved before, rejoice in a way you've never rejoiced before, feel the presence of God and see the Lord in a way that you have never done before. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. I know the tragedy of this side and the heartache of the parting for the dear people left behind here. But you remember that when someone dies in Christ, it's precious in the sight of the Lord. But friend, if you've gone the wrong way and death comes and grips your body and you take your final breath, and your heart beats for the final time, and if you're lying on a bed and you look around at your loved ones for a final look, the next thing you will do is lift up your eyes in the place of the damned, in hell. And I'm asking you tonight before God, does the way you're traveling, does it lead to the heights of heaven? Or does it end in the depths of hell? You see, it says in this verse, the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, the word death in this context does, of course, speak of the punishment of the sinner in eternity. The second death. But we could also say that death, or to die, is to experience the end of things, because death is the end of physical life, isn't it? So what death are we speaking of here at the end of the way of the sinner? Well, I believe we could say that to die in sin is to experience the death, or the end, of being in the presence of believers. If you die and go into hell, you will never again be in the presence of a believer. You'll never be in the presence of a Christian again. Whether that was a preacher, maybe a loved one, a parent, maybe even a child. Maybe those who prayed for you, those who warned you, those who sought to reach you, those who genuinely loved you and your soul. You will never be in the presence of a believer again. It's also the death of all opportunity to repent and call on the Lord for salvation. There's no one in hell needs to be convinced that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. But the opportunity to repent from that way is over. The opportunity to call upon the Lord for salvation is ended. The ways of death, I believe it's the death or the end of all pleasures of family, friends, the beauty of God's creation. No longer will you enjoy those pleasures that even the sinner enjoys in life. No longer will you feel the embrace of a loved one, hear the laughter of a friend, look into the eyes of one who's helped you. No longer will you see the beauty of springtime bud forth. The beauty of God's creation that just takes your breath away. No, because you've gone to the place where death rules and reigns. The answer over the ways of death, the death or the end of all pleasures of sin. Because while in life there was pleasure in the sin that you committed. While in life, there's pleasure maybe today for you, and you don't want to give up that pleasure because you feel it's too big a sacrifice to make to become a Christian. Let me tell you, when you get to the end of your way, it's the death and the end of all the pleasures of sin. And pleasure then gives way to the pain and the punishment eternally for the sinner. The ways are all for the ways of death, or the end are all for the ways of death. It's the death or the end of all kindness or care from others. You see, in this lifetime, because of the mercy of the Lord, if you're sick or in pain, you can go to a physician or a doctor or a nurse. A child can run to its parents. You can have the care of loved ones, the kindness in this life. But you will not know any kindness or care from others in hell. Not even so much as a drop of water on the end of your finger to place in your mouth. Friend, it will also be a place of shame, because you will know for all eternity that every single step you took, you influenced those around you. You have a sphere of influence tonight. People respect you. People look up to you. People follow you. Maybe you say, I don't need Christ in my life. And that's the way your children are following. Your spouse is following you tonight. In your rejection of Christ, and in hell eternally, You'll be aware of the fact that you led your loved ones to this place. Your friends at work, your schoolmates. You had influence in your life, but you went the wrong way and you brought others with you. Oh, it's essential to know you're going the right way. And then there's a great tragedy. Death, shame, and tragedy. Because everything that you have lived for, worked for, trusted in, and depended upon has gone. They're unable to help you in eternity. You're left at the end of your life with nothing but your sin. The punishment of it. And friend, not even the sins you engaged in or indulged in will bless you for a fleeting moment, because they've damned your soul. Now this warning is solemn, because you will face hell if you go the wrong way. This warning is necessary because there are people in this place tonight going the wrong way. People may be watching online tonight and you're going the wrong way. But this warning is merciful, because God is calling you from a life of wasted years. God is giving you the opportunity tonight to leave the path that leads to hell and to start for heaven. You see, if you're not saved, you're a sinner. Or another way we could describe it is you are unrighteous. You're guilty before God. And 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 says, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now I know that people say that's too far tonight. And perhaps, you know, they'll say, well, look at others. They're so sincere in their religion. How could the Lord turn someone away with such sincerity? Friend, sincerity in the wrong way just means that you're running quicker to hell. Eve sincerely believed the devil's lies in the garden, but she was deceived. In Noah's day, people sincerely believed that there would be no flood. They were wrong. In Lot's day, remember how his sons-in-law laughed when he told them that Sodom was to be destroyed. You might sincerely believe you're going the right way, but come to the Word of God, and if it doesn't measure with God's Word and with the Gospel, you're going the wrong way. Friend, that's taking you to hell. Only a fool would run and say, look how sincerely I run. Surely I'm going the right way. No, the wise man says, look at the way I'm running. I'm going the right way. You need the Savior tonight, because there's a danger if you leave this meeting without Christ and continue on down the wrong way, that you will end in hell. You're not guaranteed to be here next Sunday. Nor am I, for that matter. You're not guaranteed to make it home tonight to your bedroom to get down before God and to ask Him to save you. I dare not ask you to do that as a preacher. But I urge you and I beg you, upon the authority of God's Word, to come to Christ now, because now is accepted time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. You need to obey His will by turning from your sin and calling upon Him for mercy, by praying for the blood to cleanse you from sin. Ask Jesus to save you. And the promise of His word is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you be saved tonight? Will you come? Will you honestly be able to walk out that door saying, I'm going the right way? May the Lord give you grace tonight
God.